Cool. So we have negative or discouraging things said to us quite a lot, right, in our lives. And not just us, but our families, maybe your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, friends at work, they also have discouraging or negative things said to them. And it can be quite devastating. So what I want to speak about this morning is having encouraging and true and good things, blessings, and the word of God spoken to us and over us and over our families as well. So the Bible is full of encouragement and blessing. But as long as the Bible just sits there on our shelves or sits there beside our bed, it doesn't have any influence or any effect on our lives. So we need to learn to speak what the Bible says over us. And if we will learn to do that, to speak out what the Bible says, then there will be changes. There will be changes. Those changes might be in our circumstances, but they might not. Our circumstances might stay exactly the same, but it will be us who change, and we'll have different attitudes and different hearts and feelings about the things that happen. And perhaps the most consistent voice that we hear saying negative rubbish or lies or discouragement, and because it's the most consistent voice, it's the most damaging, is our own voice. In the thoughts that we think inside our heads and those conversations that we have with ourselves and the things that we say out loud to ourselves that can be so negative. Things like, you're so stupid. You'll never amount to anything. God doesn't love me. I'm too old for God to use. It would be better if I was dead. And that's probably a fairly sanitized version of some of the things that we have go through our heads, right? And it's hard not to listen to ourselves because we figure, if anybody knows me, it's me. And so it's really hard not to listen to those thoughts and that voice inside us. But so often we get it wrong. And you guys will all know of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's old now, he's 68 years old. But back in the day, he just had an incredible body, right? And this is what he has to say about those days. I'd look in the mirror after I won one Mr. Olympia after another, and I'd think, how did this pile of rubbish win? I never saw perfection. There was always something lacking. I could always find a million things wrong with myself. And that's just so sad. Somebody that had a body that looked as good as his, but when he looked at it, he just thought, oh, it's rubbish. I was actually 69 now. And at age 69, what does he now have to say? Every time I look in the mirror, I throw up. That's a long time. He's 69 years old. And every time he's looked at himself, he's had those thoughts. And we can't afford for our lives to have that kind of rubbish go on. We can't trust the way that we see ourselves, and we need a voice that we can trust completely always. There's other times that the voices don't come from ourselves. Sometimes it comes from other people. And last week, Lois shared about Jezebel and Elijah. And Elijah just had one of those incredible experiences, like before the whole nation on Mount Hermon, I think it was, calling down fire from heaven. An incredible victory. And then what happens? Jezebel sends him this message. And he just dissolves like a little girl in tears and in a pity party. A man of God, a prophet of God, who's just had their most incredible victory and done what we would dream, you know, what we would love to have happen. And somebody sends him a message and he just dissolves and he runs. He didn't have any comeback for Jezebel. And he really needed one. And we need them as well. We need comebacks. We need to be able to speak God's truth over our lives and also over the lives of the ones that we love, over our children, over our husbands and wives, or our parents, or our workmates. God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, I've been made holy. God says he's clothed me in salvation and in his righteousness. God says I am forgiven and my sins are at the bottom of the sea. So when you have a negative thought come into your head, or when somebody says something to you that really brings you down, we need to be able to come back at it straight away with what God has to say about things. So for example, one day you might have that thought pop into your head. It happens scarily often. God doesn't love me. God doesn't see me. And it says in Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. So don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. General knowledge quiz. How many birds are there in the earth? Roughly, approximately. About 8,000, not species, actual birds. Yeah, actual birds. How did you know that? You've been speaking to my wife. There are over 2 billion birds on the planet. And what does God say? Not one of those birds dies that he doesn't know about it and he doesn't notice. How many people? I'm not too sure of that one. I should look that one up too. About, so yeah, think about 6 billion in the world. So 200 billion birds, 6 billion people. God knows and God sees us, and we need to declare these things over us. So when the lie comes, we need to come straight back at it with the truth. And it's a little bit like a salesman when they come to your door. If you just are really rude and abrupt straight away, they go. But if you let them get their foot in the door, then it's going to be really hard to get rid of them. So when a lie or a negative thought comes to us, or somebody says rubbish to us, we need to address it straight away. Don't let it get established like weeds in the garden or salesman's foot. And so what really helps for me is to actually say the verse out loud. That helps. And we don't need to wait for somebody to say rubbish to us. We can be already preparing our hearts and our minds with God's word. So it might work for you to print out verses and stick them on the toilet walls or door or the walls of your bedroom. Or maybe you're not in a space where you get to decorate things, so you might put them on your phone. And that could be handy. That's what I find handy. I've got them on my phone so I can flick through them when I have time. Romans says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So I need to be speaking God's truth over myself all the time, not just once. I need to do it lots and lots. Because we never get transformed by just hearing something, by just knowing truth. We get transformed through really thinking about it and just having it over and over again. And what makes it powerful is that we know God's word is true. If our workmates are annoyed at us and they say something really bad or negative, obviously we can't trust that because they are saying it out of anger. But even when people that love us say things, we can't always trust that. Look at the number of people who turn up to America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent or Next American Idol because they are convinced that they have a lovely voice because their mother told them they could sing. And can they sing? No, it's horrible and it's atrocious. So even people who love us, the kind things that they say to us, that doesn't cut it when it comes to combating those negative thoughts. We need something that we know is definitely, definitely, 100%, no question, true. And that's where God's word is so valuable. And honestly, there will be times, or there are times in our lives, where nothing else will stop those negative thoughts. Only something that we know has real authority, which is God's word. Satan cannot stand before someone who knows what God has to say. I do believe Satan is very powerful and strong, but he cannot stand before us if we know what God has to say on a particular thing. And we quote that, we say that, and we repeat it, and it becomes our thoughts. Satan cannot stand before that. He's actually scared of it. And that's why he will do whatever he can, and he's pretty darn cunning. He'll do anything that he can to get us away from the Bible. And one of the key ways that he will do that is through busyness. And so for me, the trap is the internet, because I have this wonderful tablet. And so when I have a little bit of time on my hands, I'll just check the email. And then I finish checking the email, go, oh, I wonder what's on the news. So I'll go to stuff.co.nz, and I'll have a look at the news. And I think, oh, I wonder what's happening in that cricket game, New Zealand versus Bangladesh. I'll just have a quick look at the sports news. And then I've still got a bit of time. Oh, wonder what's happening with those cats on YouTube. No, I'm not really into the cats ones, but I do like the sports ones on YouTube and some of the music. So that's a real trap for me, and I keep myself busy doing that stuff. Trade me. Trade me is another one. Oh, what's wrong with trade me? Come on, get things for cheap. But it keeps me busy. And it's something that I do instead of reading God's word and getting ready. Because there are times when I desperately need to know what God has to say about something, about me. And if I allow myself to be busy, then when those times come, I'm left with nothing. I'm left with nothing. What is it for you? Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's good things like cleaning the house, cooking meals, shopping, sports, fitness. I mean, who can argue with fitness, right? We're looking after the body that God gave us. But maybe it keeps you busy, so busy that you don't have time for God's word. To be honest, there's plenty of times when I look at verses and I say, that doesn't seem true for me. Yeah, I know it's God's word, I know it's true, but it just doesn't seem true for me. But actually it is. It's my feelings or my gut feelings that are the ones that don't have it right. Because my gut feelings don't really know who God is, and they don't really know what an amazing thing he has done for me. And so I look at verses and it just doesn't, it's not true for me. It says that I'm holy. It says that I'm righteous. It says that God loves me. I don't feel like he loves me. But it's in those times that we need to honor God by hanging on to it anyway. So I read a verse and it says something and I think, oh, it doesn't feel true. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to be having any influence in my life. Nonetheless, God has said it. So I will say it too. God has said it, so I'm going to hang on to it. And that's what we can do. God has said it, so I'm going to say it, and I hang on to it. And that's faith. And we know that faith pleases God, and it has effect. A question for you. I'm sure that people will know the answer. Remember when David came up against Goliath? What was it that Goliath had to say to David? David turns up with his sling and his five little stones. I don't know how small they were, probably quite big. And Goliath says something. Can anybody remember what he said? Yep, he's going to throw him to the birds. He does say that. Something happens before that. That would have been a good comeback, little worm. That would be the paraphrased extended message version. But yes, I think that was the general feeling. But there was something before that. Yeah, it did say something about children coming at me with sticks. But the first thing he says, so I'll read it from 1 Samuel 17. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And then he says, come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals. But the first thing he does is he curses David by his gods. And people can curse us as well. Think of the things that people say. Damn you. If you. In its many versions. Go to hell. And I think when people say those things, they don't really understand what they're saying. They're just angry and they say stuff. But it can actually be a curse in our lives. And I remember a time in Palmerston North, I was in a rush to cross the road and there was some roadworks going on, but I was in a rush, so I crossed the road. I didn't really pay attention. And the next thing I know, this very angry road worker is coming down the road just swearing black and blue, just saying lots of things about my heritage and the kind of person that I was and where I should go. And so I said, oh, look, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Really bad, thanks. Jumped in the car, started to go home, and I just felt like rubbish. I just felt really bad and really down. And I got home, and just something in the back of my spirit, I guess, God was saying, this isn't right. This is wrong. And so I just stopped and I prayed, and I said, just in Jesus' name, I break any power of those words. And it was astonishing. Something just fell off me straight away. And I felt completely different, and I felt normal. So what people say to us can be a curse. No drama. We just need to stand on who we are as Christians and break it in Jesus' name. Just a very simple prayer. Something like, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I break the power of these words over me in Jesus' name. And it works. It's astonishing. And I don't know how often you get sworn at. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your kids. Because your kids probably go to school. Or maybe your kids are growing up now and they work on building sites or construction sites. Or maybe they're road workers. Maybe you work in a school. Then you're definitely going to get sworn at. And sometimes just be aware. Those words can really carry something, and you just need to very simply break them off in Jesus' name. Oh, it's turned itself off. One of the places where Joe and I worked, there was a young guy, and he had somebody making death threats at him, very serious death threats, very specific death threats, and it went on for months. And this guy was telling him, through telephone calls and texts and on Facebook and stuff, how he was going to come to his house with his mates and beat him up and then torture him and then kill him. And that will do stuff to your mind, having those threats made against you. And so this young guy that we worked with, he got to the place where he couldn't sleep anymore. And so he came to us. And Joe was amazing. Joe sometimes has a real knack that she really gets down to it, and she looks at me and says, do something. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have any experience with thumping great guys who have gangs and are going to come and deal to somebody and kill them. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. But then sometimes my wife looks at me expectantly and says, oh. So we got together with this guy and we just prayed for him. And just, we were feeling so unable to do anything and so ill-equipped. But just in Jesus' name, we prayed for that guy. And we also did the practical stuff. We made sure that he had somewhere to go where he was safe and would feel safe and where he could get a good night's sleep. These death threats had been spoken over him for months, and they were really serious death threats. And I kid you not, within 24 hours, he received a phone call from the guy who had been making these death threats. And the guy said, look, I'm too tired to carry on doing this. Let's just drop it and let's be friends. And when we heard that, we were just astonished. And that is the power of our God. There is power in the words that people speak, but there is greater power in our God. And so we have that ability to pray, to speak blessing, to break the power of the enemy. So I do have some verses, some examples that will pop up on PowerPoint, if that's right, Matthew. Just some example verses that I use that help me to combat the enemy. Is there any way we can kill a bit of the stage lights and then it will show up a little bit brighter? It's better. Cool. And just flick it onto the first one, thanks. This isn't a verse, but this is something that I say to myself to prepare myself. Phil, don't fool yourself by thinking just reading these scriptures and thoughts will be enough. If they're going to replace lies, if they're going to become your thoughts and beliefs, they must be meditated upon and taken deep. And for me, I have to say them out loud and regularly. Thanks. Next one, Matthew. However far from God I feel, the truth is that I am near. And I have a scripture to back me up. If I don't have a scripture to back me up, then it feels kind of powerless. Next one. Thanks, Matthew. In Christ, I am free from condemnation. And often I need that one. The next one. Jesus is interceding for me today. That does wonderful things for me. To know that whatever rubbish is going on, my Saviour is in heaven interceding for me. Next one. This is my last one, and this is just a favourite story I have about Tim Hoyt, but it will still make sense even if you don't know Tim Hoyt. This is something I say to myself. The love that Tim Hoyt guy had for his son is nothing compared to Jesus' love for me. I do today in his provision, weak yet strong, unable yet able, ill-equipped yet having everything I need. And I need to do that regularly, even today. I don't want to stand up here and speak to you guys. You're kind of scary. And my job at the moment is teaching English, and there's plenty of times when I don't feel able because it's a new course. I haven't taught it before, and I need to learn a lot of things, and then I need to stand in front of a bunch of people and look like I really know what I'm talking about. So those things mean a lot to me, that I'm weak, but he will enable me. I'm not well equipped, but I can still do it. And so the message for you guys is that there will be lots of negative thoughts from ourselves about who we are and what we can and cannot do. And there'll be plenty of people who have things to say about what we cannot do, what we can do, who we are. And we need to come straight back against those thoughts and those things with God's word. Because as we declare God's word over our lives, that's when we will discover who we are, where we are, and what we're able to do. Cool. So I'll just pray and release us. Cool. 10:52, it's pretty good. Lord, we're pretty well aware of our limitations and what we would be like if left to our own selves. But Lord, may we each day become more and more aware of how we're not left to ourselves, that we have a rock to stand on. Lord, each day give us more revelation of what it is that you think about us, that you have to say about us. Give us more revelation of the truth of who you are and what you have done. So Lord, as we read your word and things don't seem to line up with the way that we feel and what we see about us, give us that strength, Lord, to hold on to your word and to declare it, to speak it over ourselves and to speak it over those we love, those around about us, that will become our truth, that will become the rock that we are able to stand on. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say also, if some of you will have been in that situation and might still be in the situation where somebody has said something about you, said something to you, and it just leaves you feeling completely horrible and depressed and miserable, then you're more than welcome to come up to anybody, whether it's myself or whether it's a church leader, an elder. Come up to the front and there will be somebody who can just pray with you, just very simple prayers, because it's God's power that will break that stuff and leave you in a better place.
Phil, could I just say something? Firstly, thank you for that message. I mean, as you said last week, I spoke on Elijah and Jezebel, and one of the things I said in the application, I said, be aware that when you have a spiritual high, you know, you may shortly after have a really low. And Brian and I went away this week, right up north. We had a great time. But the day before we came back, we had a horrible disagreement. And I felt really, really stink. You know, I felt like giving up. And but that was good. I prayed about it. You know, everything was fine, and you know, peace was restored. And then when we got home, there was a letter for me from the transport department saying I was going to have my license taken off me. And I thought, well, Satan is really doing his best this week to drag me down. So I once again, I prayed about that. And I said, Lord, if this happens, well, it happens. You know, maybe I have to lose my job if I can't drive, but I've just left it in the hands of the Lord, and I feel peace about that. But thank you, Phil, for bringing that message, because we need to just hand these things over to God, and he does give us that peace and that strength to carry on.